The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
Financial Survival Network is presented to you by Regal Assets. Buy and sell physical gold and silver through your existing retirement plan 100% tax-free with Regal Assets. If you want to include physical gold or silver in your existing IRA or old 401k, request your free investment kit, which was recently featured in the Forbes and Smart Money Wall Street Journal magazines. Call toll-free 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620, or visit regalassets.com. 1490 WGCH, this is Kerry Lutz. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly market wrap-up. Mickey, how you doing?
Doing well, and I'm glad I live in a dry part of the United States at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad I live in hurricane-free Florida, I'll tell you that. You know, when I was...
I gather you fled to Florida before Sandy did its damage.
Well, we were in Spokane at the Silver Summit, and, you know, it ended on Friday, and we took off on Saturday, so go to Denver, plane breaks, and have to switch to another plane. That plane broke, and the air conditioning didn't work, so we were tied up. So I fly into Newark, and I had gotten another plane that luckily came in late because it got tied up in customs. And then we flew around the storm, and it was the most amazing thing, Mickey. We must have flown 250 miles inland because there's two routes when you fly down to Florida. One is you fly over Virginia and then cross Roanoke. You go right down the Atlantic Ocean right to Florida, and that's the faster route. The other way is the inland route, but we flew so far inland west, it took us another 15 minutes. And when we came over Florida, I recognized it because I saw Tampa right there and Orlando, and all that's in central and western Florida. So I knew we had like really veered off to the west to avoid it. And then it was gorgeous. Once we hit Florida, everything was fine. But it was really turbulent and bumpy when we were bypassing the storm. But not as bumpy and turbulent as it is now for the people who've weathered the storm. And now they don't have any food. They can't go to an ATM. They can't get out of there. They're stranded in their houses. And they're subject to looters. And because our mayor is so anti-gun, they probably don't even have self-defense. And the mayor is such an idiot. He's actually, they've got two 300 kilowatt generators and one 200 kilowatt generator, which I guess isn't a lot, but it can light up a number of houses. Rather than have them by the flood areas, they're on standby for the New York City Marathon, which runs this Sunday. So it's much more important that the police be preparing the route for the marathon than rescuing people and protecting people, which is their supposed job.
Yeah, I gathered a little bit about that via the marathon. So,
yeah, but this is why you need to be self-sufficient and why you need to be prepared. We were talking about it, and you know, you're kind of isolated, so you need to do a lot of these things for yourself. You know, have a generator, have the proper means of defense, and be able to take care of yourself in the event of an outage. And you know, I've done similar things here in Florida and New York, but you really need to be doing that. But in the meantime, let's talk about these markets. First, we got our stock markets and put in a rather lackluster performance.
Gary, you're really cutting out on me badly.
Okay, let's. Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah.
You're all right?
So I think from the markets, I don't know if.
I'll take a look because I
what's
probably
going on, but the last minute or so you were really starting to cut out.
All right, well, I'm probably okay on my end here, so let me just start over again with the markets. So So these markets put in a rather lackluster performance over the past month, didn't they, Mickey?
Well, they certainly did, Carrie. And October can always be a scary month. It seems that's when crashes are bound to happen. But I think the pre-election doldrums set in. The Dow, the S&P 500, and the Russell 2000 were all down about 2% for the month. The big loser was NASDAQ, and I think that's probably directly due to Apple's miserable performance, losing $110 over the last 6 weeks. That's something about 15% of its valuation. Apple really upset the Apple cart in NASDAQ. The TSX main board was up about 1%, and I have no idea why, because it's very commodities based, and commodities for the most part were weak over the month. TSX Ventures come off a little bit, low liquidity has set in. The emerging markets index was off a little bit less than 1%. I think that's probably due to concerns in China.
Right. Yeah, well, hey, Apple, today they introduced the Apple iPad Mini. They sold tons of those phones, and there were no major screw-ups with the phones other than the map application. I just happened to get one because I kind of live on that phone. It enables me to do stuff that I wouldn't be able to do otherwise, and the thing works pretty damn good, but honestly, the Android phones have the advantage because the screens are just so much bigger for older people like us to be able to not have to squint to see your email is definitely a plus. But the metals equally as lackluster, and they finished pretty down this month as well.
That's true, Carrie. Gold off 3%. Silver, platinum, and palladium all off 5 to 6%. They've really reverted back to their previous range-bound natures for the year. There's a couple of reasons that I know. For instance, palladium is off because of very poor October auto sales. What's curious to me was platinum was off almost 6% over the month, but we've had again, severe supply disruption with the strikes in South Africa. A couple of days ago, nationalization in Zimbabwe took 50% of Zimplats, which is Anglo-American platinum mine in that country. So Southern Africa remains a mess. All our ratios remained approximately the status quo for the year, gold and silver in the low 50s. Platinum, perhaps, to gold has settled into a new paradigm at about 0.9 to 1.91 right now. Platinum palladium ratio up to 2.6, but that's still historically low. Copper for the month settled into a lower level, but still range-bound with mixed signals coming out of China. I think it will continue to be range-bound. It closed the month at $3.51.
Yeah, interesting there, you know, and Dr. Copper is telling us something about the world economy there too, perhaps. So.
Well, that's true, Carrie, and I'm going to do an interview on Monday on copper, which should be out somewhere within a week or 10 days, and so by Monday, I'll know a lot more about the current short-term fundamentals of the copper market, and perhaps listeners would be interested in that. Come out sometime during the second week of November.
Yeah, and you can always find all that on mercenarygeologist.com.
That's true, and certainly find this interview on your website.
Absolutely. So then we go to energy, and it's a little schizophrenic there too, isn't it?
Well, it is, and WTI was off 6.5%. It's been trading about $86 a barrel, whereas Brent has shown better strength. closed the month at $109. I think that's attributable somewhat to a U.S. oil glut. Perhaps we're starting to see shale oil come in, much like shale gas did. But really, the real reason is infrastructure backup. We don't have the pipelines. We don't have the ability to get some of this oil to refineries on the Gulf Coast. The Keystone pipeline is still some figment of Obama's imagination or something like that. We'll see what happens. Gas was the big winner once again, up to $3.50. We've seen quite a rise here over the last 6 months from a low of less than $2. It's shown well over a 50% gain since that period of time, but it's still historically low, and nobody's going to be drilling for gas at $3.50. Not much incentive there. The Brent to WTI ratio at 1.3 is a yearly high, whereas the WTI to gas ratio at 25 is now a yearly low. That just reflects, I think, the weakness in WTI over the month. The real loser, once again, uranium. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
It's been slammed by a flood of supply coming out of the U.S. government, both with releases of U308 to support the union workers in the key state of Ohio, and also by reprocessing of tails, enrichment tails from Paducah. So the U.S. government has slammed the door on uranium's price by increasing the supply, and then that's exacerbated by a lessening in demand driven mainly by Japan, and we see Japanese utilities starting to move excess inventories into the spot market, basically because well over 90% of the reactors in Japan are still shut down, and that is costing Japanese something on the order of $100 million a day.
Yeah, amazing there. Amazing. And wouldn't be surprising after the election to see uranium going back up after the manipulation and the U.S. government, artificially inflating the supply ends probably.
Yeah, but the real problem is what happens when price gets this low. The utilities will start picking away with discretionary buying, and so that goes into stockpiles. You can stockpile uranium. It doesn't go away. And so then that exacerbates the situation because it lessens demand that would normally come on in the midterm. So although I am a uranium bull, for the mid to long term, I'm increasingly becoming a bear in this market.
Understandably so, because at these prices, they're practically giving the stuff away. $40.
Well, the real problem is there will be no capital expenditures for new mines at this point. So, and it's a real shame.
Yeah, well, and that'll decrease the supply and probably wind up causing a rush to invest at some point, but we just don't know when, unfortunately. And finally, we look at our currencies. The dollar did absolutely nothing. And the euro, if the dollar does nothing, the euro doesn't do much else either, does it?
No, and we're right back where we started at the beginning of the year with a dollar index of about 80 and a euro at $1.30. So the faster nothing changes. So, yeah, we're right back where we started at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Here we go around again.
Yeah, so with such stable exchange rates, the economy should be doing so much better, right?
Well, we're just increasing debt all the time, so who knows? We backed ourselves in a corner, and
we can't get out.
There is no obvious solution at this point.
Yeah, it's just to muddle along until something happens and hopefully we get out of it. But, you know, the triumph of hope over experience for second marriages, as Dr. Johnson would say, right?
That's correct, Gary.
All right, Mickey. Well, hey, thanks for the info. Basically, everything is just more or less in a holding pattern, down a little bit, up a little bit, but no dramatic moves this month, which is really unusual, but not unusual from the standpoint that it's an election month coming up, and, you know, the election's only a few days, and I anticipate after the election, things will be allowed to go along their own merry way, and then we'll see where these markets are really at.
Okay, I look forward to talking to you next month, Carrie.
All right, you got it, Mickey. You be well.
All right, you too.
Thanks.